Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
In Acts chapter 2, then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to all these people from all different nations that have gathered together for this feast of Pentecost here at Jerusalem. It's for all of you and to your children. Take it back home with you. Take it back to the nation that you came from. Bring it to your children and to all who are far off." That's future generations. This gift of the Holy Spirit that we've experienced today is not just for us, but it's for you, your children, and for future generations. It's for all, for as many as the Lord our God will call. And how many know God is still calling out for people to come and receive the gift that he has given. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift of God's heart. And like we talked about last time, spirit and heart are used interchangeably in the Word of God when referring to the human spirit. You know, we're led by our hearts or we're led by our spirit. Same, they're used interchangeably. Well, we can interchange it then for God, the Holy Spirit. He is the holy heart of God. He is God's heart. And God's heart is a heart that is full of love. God is love. He don't just got it, he is it. He is love, praise God. And so God gave us the gift of his heart. He gave us the gift of himself. He gave us the gift of his love. Of his love. This is a gift because it's something you could never work for. It's something you could never earn from God. You couldn't do enough good works for God to give this to you. You could never pay enough. There's still a lot of folks in the world today, through all the various different religions in the world, that are ever trying to pay their way to God or pay for God's acceptance, pay for God's approval through all their religious activity. Through their trying to live a righteous, good, upright life. Listen, you could never live good enough to earn God. You could never live good enough to earn God. And so God so loves us that he decided that he would just give himself to us. He would just give himself to us. Thank God he has. I've received the gift. How about you? And within that gift of the Holy Spirit, there are many gifts, many gifts. There's all kinds of things in God, all kinds of good things in God yet to be discovered. How many people believe there's a lot more to learn about your life with God, your relationship with God? How many believe there's so much more to learn about him and the goodness that he is filled with? So much more to discover it. As we discover it, we can believe in it, we can embrace it, and we can enjoy it. Hallelujah. And so that's what we need to be. We're on a quest, bless God, to unveil or unwrap the blessings of God, the goodness of God, to get to know this God who has been given to us, to get to know him. To get to know him intimately, get to know him well. And that's what we're doing. When we get in the Word of God, it's not to earn points with God. When we come to church, it's not to earn points with God. We're not here this morning hoping that by being here this morning, somehow we'll be accepted by him, that we'll earn his approval, we'll earn his love. No, our being here this morning, bless God, is because we know we've already got his love. We've already got his acceptance. We're here this morning, glory to God, to just unwrap it. We're just unwrapping it. I mean, if I don't get to spend time with the Lord, if I allow myself to be undisciplined and I don't spend adequate time with him, man, I kick myself. I mean, I'm mad at myself because I know I missed out on something today. I missed out on things today. I didn't get all that I could get, all that has been made available to me. I don't kick myself because I feel like I've displeased God and I've lost his approval. I don't get into condemnation because I don't spend time with God. I didn't make it to church, or I didn't do something that I felt led in my heart to do. I don't get into condemnation over it as though God has now forsaken me and I have to now somehow re-earn his favor. I have his favor. I got his heart. I got his spirit. And all that comes with that, all the love, all the mercy, all the forgiveness, all the goodness, all the grace that comes with it, bless God. I've already got it. No, I just get upset with myself if I don't spend time with him, or I get distracted with the flesh and things like that because I know how much I missed out on today. I missed out on a good opportunity to be blessed. I missed out on a good opportunity to get some supernatural insight into the supernatural ability of God that's upon my life. See, we got to watch it about thinking, well, I spent time with God, I prayed, and therefore I've earned myself a healing. I've earned myself some prosperity. I've earned myself some things. Or if I didn't spend time, then I'm so unworthy. I'm so unworthy. I don't deserve God's goodness. Pastor, you don't know how I lived this past week. I mean, I got involved in this and I was slopping around. Care about my feelings? That's right. If I don't care about my own feelings, what in the world would I care about your feelings for? I'm not going to be led by my feelings. No, you got to come back to what is the truth? What is the truth? And the truth is, regardless of how you acted this week, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, if you believe in him, and you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I got news for you today. You're just as worthy for God's attention, God's favor, God's love, God's goodness as anybody else in this room. From the preacher to the choir to wherever. You are just as worthy. You are just as worthy. God accepts you just as much. You are no different. You're not looked down upon any less because you had a flesh fit coming into the parking lot. Maybe even after you hit the speed bump. Whatever time. But you might have had a flesh fit. You just missed it royally. You feel ugly. You're angry at Agnes. I mean, whatever your issue is, those are all your feelings. What's the truth? Truth is, God isn't moved by your ugliness any more than he's moved by your goodness. Your goodness don't move him away from you, and your goodness doesn't bring him closer to you. Your ugliness doesn't move him away from you, and your goodness doesn't draw him any closer to you. God isn't moved. God doesn't look and go, oh, they're being nice, and they're walking in love, and then he comes over. Now I can be around you. And then all of a sudden, you stump your toe, and you curse, which I hope you wouldn't do, but you know, something, you start acting mean and nasty, and next year God goes, you're on your own until you get that straightened out. No. He has already given you himself as a gift. So it's yours, regardless of your behavior. If the gift is withdrawn from you because your behavior changes, then guess what? Then it was never a gift. It never was given to you. It was always his. And we talked about this at length last time, but I just, you know, I was going to do a little review, but it's expanding. Because we need to hear it some more. If it's a gift, then he can't pull it away from you. It's yours. It's yours. Good or bad. Regardless of your behavior, the gift is yours. Isn't that an awesome thought? So we've got to stop building our confidence on our behavior, and we got to build our confidence on his word. What does his word say? His word is more sure than any feeling, any kind of experience you might have in life, or maybe somebody else has in life and you didn't have. I mean, I've been in situations, and I remember one time when I was at a Bible school, still fairly young in the Lord, you know, and there were folks experiencing something, it seemed. I mean, we were in a certain meeting and folks are running and jumping and shouting and carrying on. I thought, my God, you know, and this thought came, the power of God is in this place, the Spirit of God's moving, and these people are tapping into it. These people are spiritual and they're tapping into the power of God. And then this thought came, but look at you. You're just a flesh creature. You don't even belong here. You're not as good as these people. You're not as spiritual as these people. You're not as in tune with the Spirit of God as these people are. And the reason why they're all getting so blessed and so touched by God and you're not is because, isn't it obvious? Look at you. Look at you. You're just a flesh creature. And those thoughts came on day one, and then day two up at school, you know, the meeting was going again and people were running, jumping, shouting and carrying on. And day three, and it just seemed like people were having all kinds of experiences with God and I was experiencing nothing. And I just felt like a misfit. And why would I be a misfit unless I was a misfit? So I must be a misfit. I don't fit in. I don't have the kind of faith and spirituality that everybody else has. That's why they're experiencing something and I'm not. And I began to feel inferior to everybody around me. I began to feel worthless, of no value. And so I hung my head and I left on day four. The fourth meeting, it was enough. And I left. But bless God, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that conviction of the Holy Spirit and his thoughts. And he came with his thoughts and he arrested my thoughts. And he said, he convicted me to come into this park. He said, come into the park and I'll talk to you. And I said out loud, I said, no. I said, I'll go home and I'll pray when I get home. And this thought came, no, you're going to go home, go to sleep. And it's only going to get worse. Come into the park and pray. I said, all right. I felt like miserable. I didn't feel like praying. I didn't feel spiritual. I felt disconnected from God. But I came into the park anyway. I sat on the bench and I said, God, I said, sometimes I come to you as God. And you're awesome and you're Lord. And I'll get on my knees and I'll lift my hands and I'll praise you. I said, but right now, you're my father and I'm your son and we need to have a father and son talk. What I was saying there was, I don't feel spiritual. I feel totally separated from you, completely disconnected from you. And if you are just my father, then we should just be able to talk without me having to try to be spiritual. And I opened up the word because that's what he talks through. Number one, it's the word of God. I flipped open the word. It opened up to Nehemiah chapter 4. I looked down at verse 10. It said the strength of the laborers is failing. There's so much rubbish. We weren't able to complete the work. And I don't know if that doesn't mean anything to you. But when I looked at it, man, the Holy Spirit lit it up and he began to speak to me. The strength of the laborers is failing. That's you. You got your eyes on all this rubbish. You got your eyes on everybody else and what everybody else seems to be experiencing. You got your eyes on everything going on around you and you've got your eyes off my word and what I've told you. And I began to realize at that point, everything began to come to my remembrance and I realized we walk by faith and not by sight and I'm going to base my feelings on the word of God and not on my circumstances. I'm not going to follow how things feel and how things appear. I'm going to come back to what does God say? And the Bible says God loves me. And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Behold, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I begin to stir myself up in what the word says. And I begin to realize if God loves anybody, he loves me. If he loves anybody, he loves me because I've received the gift of his love. I received his heart. I've received his goodness into my life. I got news for you. You qualify for the blessing of God. You qualify for the goodness of God. I said you qualify. Hallelujah. You can't do anything on your own to qualify, but he has qualified you. I said he's qualified you. And now what we want to do is we want to have a walk that's worthy of what he has given us. We want to walk worthy of this worthiness that he has bestowed upon us. He's already made us worthy. We might as well go ahead and walk in it and act like, live up to it. Huh? Praise God. But if you slip along the way, thank God, that's not what determines your worthiness. He determines your worthiness. Praise God. So spending time with him, man, that's just to get more of what you already got. Get to know what you got. Get to know him. Get to know what you got. And then you can experience your life. If you don't, there's things you're going to miss out on. It's just simply because you're not going to be aware of it. You're not going to have faith for it. You're not going to know it, that it's there. But I got news for you. Even if you drift far away from a disciplined time with God, you have not gotten further away from God. You might have drifted in your drifted in your discipline. But I got news for you. You know where the Holy Spirit is when you're drifting? You're drifting. Where's he going? He's just following you. Aaron, come up here. I got to illustrate it. Come up here. And you got the gift. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's received the gift, and I'm right here with him. Praise God. Why don't you just begin to drift? What are you doing? Will you knock it off? Can we get together? Can we spend some time together? You know, I think I got some stuff I want to show you. Yeah, and now weeks have gone by. This guy has missed church. This guy has been just soaking in ESPN. He is just... Did I just read your mail? That's what happens. I'm starting to pick that up. No. And so, you know... He is weeks, and now he thinks, oh, God, where are you? And so he turns around to see where God is. And God's right there. God never left him, didn't move away. Come on, somebody. He is right there with you. You got the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't grieve him. Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve him with the nonsense, but he's right there. He belongs to you. He's made it that way. The only way he can get out of your life is you've got to cut him off. You've got to reject him. You've got to replace him. You've got to say, no, I reject you. You've got to turn away from him and forsake him. Like I said last time, nobody loses their salvation, but they can leave their salvation. They can give it away. But unless you're willingly wanting to give it away, you're just being carnal and fleshy. And he's right there with you. Right there in the midst of it all, he's right there with you, wanting to help pull you back. Go with me to Romans, the 8th chapter. God is a God of absolutes. His actions are not feeling-based. What he says and what he does is not based on his feelings. You make him feel good, and he likes being around you, and he will never leave you or forsake you as long as you're making him feel good. Grieve him, frustrate the grace of God, and what happens? He pulls back from you, doesn't want to be around you, doesn't want to associate with you any longer. No, that's what we're used to among humans. See, that's what we get from other human beings. They love you one second, and they don't love you the next. Oh, you make me feel so good. I can't stand you. Right? And that's what we deal with all the time with human beings. Do you know any human beings that are like that? Are they sitting in your chair? But that's what we're used to in this world, is feeling-based love and commitment and actions. God's actions are not feeling-based. They're based on the truth. He is just. He's a just God. What does that mean? He is guided by truth and righteousness. Principles or standards of righteousness. That's what God builds everything on. Absolutes. Truth. He's a God of justice. Righteousness. He's got certain standards that he lives by. That's how he is. He isn't feeling led. And that's how you and I need to learn how to live our life. And as we get to know him, we'll become more like him ourselves. Notice here in Romans, the 8th chapter, it says, there is therefore now, verse 1, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now that statement, but according, those who walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, that isn't in the original. That was added in the New King James or King James Bible. But it's good anyhow, because we look at it where it says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. In other words, if you're not judging yourself according to the flesh, there'll be no condemnation. If you're judging yourself based on the flesh, there'll be condemnation, because you're going to judge yourself based on your performance. We're to base our confidence on the word, on the truth, because that's what God builds his actions on, is on the truth. Everything he does is based on the truth. And then in verse 2 it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Notice that, the law of the Spirit. And we don't have a whole lot of time to get into that today. There's a lot I want to say about that. But notice that, the law of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit. The Spirit of God that has been given to you as a gift. He is a law. He is, again, a God of absolutes. He is not a wishy-washy, changing with the weather, changing with the feelings and circumstances of life kind of God. He's a law. He's an absolute. Like we think about the law of gravity. The law of gravity is an absolute law. It works every time you work it. Isn't that right? If I take this right here and I let go of it, how many people can guess what's going to happen? Will it remain in the same place where I'm holding it right now? Will it fly away? Will it float to the sky, huh? Could happen, right? Could it happen? Could it happen? I'm taking a vote. Are you sure? How sure? You're positive. I mean, absolutely, totally, like totally, come on. So I'm going to let go of this. I'd be willing to put their reputation on the line right now that this is going to go down and not up. Or stay where it is. Look at this. See what like this? Most hands are like this. Yes. I commit to that. I would put my name on it. It seems like there's even some doubt in the room about this. I think some of you think I'm going to do something. I don't have any strings. There's nothing here. Okay? I'm just going to let it go. Now, how many people with hands raised believe it's going up? I just wanted to mess some of you up. How many people believe that when I let go of this, absolutely, positively, you'd bet your life on it, it's going to go down? You bet your life on it? You get another day to live. It's a law. That's why you're convinced. Right? It's a law, unless somebody does some kind of illusion or something like that to deceive your senses. The bottom line is, we know that what goes up must come down. There is this law of gravity. The Spirit of God is a law. Everything about Him, everything He does is a law. You could know without a shadow of a doubt where He's going to be in your life at the end of this day today before you even get there. Just as surely as you know when I let go of that, it's going down. I know where the Holy Spirit's going to be at the end of the day for me, regardless of what goes on throughout this day. He's going to be right here with me. And I also know His attitude towards me. His attitude towards me is going to be, I love you. No matter what. No matter what happens today, I know He loves me. I know that. I'm convinced of that. No matter what happens, He loves me. He's with me. He will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. That is a more sure law than the law of gravity. I know He will never leave me or forsake me. I know He's not going to back away from me. I know He is with me. And that's where faith comes. It's in knowing this law of the Spirit. Knowing that God is a God of absolutes. He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. You do not define God. Your behavior does not define Him. He's the same. Regardless if you are or you're not. You could be changing with the weather. You can wake up one way, go to sleep another way. But He's the same. You're out. You understand? You're just not that big and that good to change Him. We're talking about God. He is rock solid. He is grounded. He is not moving. He is who He is. He's a God of truth. He's a God of righteousness. And so we move around. We get pushed around, but we turn around. He's still the same. He loves you as much today as He did when He went to the cross for you. He loves you as much today as He did when He breathed Himself into your life and you were born again. He hasn't changed. He hasn't taken one step back. He is unshaken by you and I. Isn't that good? Now, here's the thing. When you understand how unshakable God is in His commitment towards you, man, it's going to cause you to become unshakable. Think of how unshakable we would be if we understood how completely unshaken God is by us. Man. Think of how easy prayer would be. I mean, you just turn right around and say, Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive me for that, and just pick right up where you left off. You don't have to do 10 Our Fathers and 8 Hail Marys and the sign of the cross and do all these things to try to get to Him. You don't have to work your way back to Him. He's right there. You repent, He's right there. And what is repentance? Repentance is getting God to come back into your life. No, repentance is you turning around and recognizing He's right there in your life. That's all repentance is. Repentance is you're going this way, He's following you around, and finally you go, I'm so stupid, forgive me. And there He is. Now I can begin to enjoy who I have. rock solid, man. God is rock solid. Quickly go to Hebrews chapter 12. There's a lot we could say here. Hebrews 12. Let me just hit verse 25. Just as an example, and I can go through the Word of God, and I could show you how the Word of God warns us about sin, and how sin can deceive your senses and trip you up and end up causing your heart to become so hardened that you don't want God anymore. And the Bible warns of that over and over. You never want to have the attitude that, well, God loves me, and so it doesn't matter how I live, because no matter what happens, God's going to be there for me. He's never going to leave me or forsake me, and I'm never going to get to the place where I'd never turn away from Him. That's deception. We got to realize there is a supernatural spirit in this world called the devil. And he blinds men's eyes. Do you understand the majority of the people in this world today, their eyes are blinded by this demon? We're talking about intelligent, smart, very sincere people, and they are blinded by the devil, and there is a good chance that they will not make heaven. They'll spend eternity in hell, separated from God, because of that blindedness, because they can't see the light of Jesus Christ. There's people, you could speak to them, you could look them right in the eyes, tell them the truth, and they can't get it. They can't get it. Why? Too much darkness. Where did that come from? Sin. Sin giving place to Satan. Satan will blind your eyes. So the Bible warns us, don't play with the devil. Well, God's good, He's always going to be with me, so it doesn't matter how I live. And then you put your arms around the devil? You got to understand how supernaturally He is, how He can blind you and suddenly cause your mind to not be able to think straight anymore. He can mess up your mind like that. We got to protect it. I said we got to protect our minds. We've got the light, man. Let's pursue it. Let's walk in it. Let's get to know it. Let's brighten it up. More and more and more. We're not going to play with sin because of what Jesus did for us. God forbid. That would be the most foolish thing He could do. You're already on the wrong path. If you even have that kind of attitude, you're already putting yourself in the danger zone. So we're not going to deliberately play around with sin because we got this tremendous love of God, that's this God who's so committed to us. We're not going to do that. We're going to continue to press into Him. Continue to press into Him. So then let's go on now to verse 27. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And I love the consuming fire of God because it consumes everything in my life that is contrary to God. It consumes those things that would try to hinder me from walking with God. That consuming fire is not my enemy. I don't fear the consuming fire of God. I invite that consuming fire of God. Why? Because I'm right with God. I'm in good relationship with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Through what Jesus did, I have a great relationship with God. How many of you have a great relationship with God? Somebody says, well, you know, I can't say I have a great relationship with God because of what I did and what I did. Friend, if you got a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you got a great relationship with God. If you got any kind of relationship with God, it's a great relationship. It's a great relationship to have. You got a great relationship with God. Don't base your relationship with God based on your feelings. You know, the Bible even says in the Old Testament, it says He's married to the backslider. Isn't that something? You backslide and He's still married to you. He doesn't run around saying, if you don't change, I will get a divorce. My God, He would have divorced us who knows how many times. He's not looking to divorce you. Are you listening to me? No, he's married to you, praise God. He's married to you. And it's unshakable. This kingdom that you and I have been brought into, it's a kingdom that cannot be shaken. He says in verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, it cannot be shaken. Don't you love that? It cannot be shaken. What is this kingdom? Well, the Bible sums it up in another place. It says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Sums up the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We got righteousness that cannot be shaken. We got peace that cannot be shaken. We got joy that cannot be shaken. You can tap into it 24/7. That's why there's some folks, when it comes to receiving the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. You know, they got this attitude of, well, now, you just can't speak in tongues whatever you want. You got to wait. You got to tarry and wait for the Holy Spirit. You just can't turn God on and off when you want to. But the truth of the matter is, God is never off. He's on all the time. His engine is always humming. All you got to do is step into it. You're not turning him on. You're not shaking him. You're not moving him. No, you're just getting in the flow. That's already flow. The river's already moving. You just decided you're going to go ahead and go down it. Go down the river. Hallelujah. Joy. It's yours right now. Peace. It's yours right now. Glory to righteousness. It's yours right now. Hallelujah. It's a law. It's solid. It's unchanging. It's absolute. It'll be there tomorrow just like it was there yesterday. Whether you're enjoying the benefits of it or not, it's there. It's immovable. It's fixed. It's set. It's established. It's done. It's yours. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, you can shout. Glory to God. It's already done. It's already yours. Now we're just learning to enjoy it, to just release it. He says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now we want to serve him acceptably because we know that we've already been accepted. He has accepted me. Now I want to live acceptably. It's kind of like this. If somebody invited you over their house, let's say somebody, you know, some very well-known person or someone of influence, you know, they give you an invitation. And they invite you over to their house. You come into that house, you're so honored that you have this invitation, that you've been allowed to come into this house, that you've been given this kind of favor. You come into that house, you've been accepted. And now that you've been accepted into this house, you want to walk acceptably. You want to walk acceptably in that place that you've been accepted into. You have been accepted into the very presence of God. You've been accepted into the life of God. You've been accepted into the kingdom of God, and it's unshakable. It's unchanging. It's yours. And now that we know that we're here already, now we want to walk acceptably in this place. Isn't that right? Our walking acceptably didn't get us accepted. No, our walking acceptably is because we've already been accepted. Our walking worthy of the Lord is because we've already been made worthy by the Lord. Because what he's done for us, we treasure it. We're grateful for it. Hallelujah. We don't want to give the devil an occasion to mock God and say, look, you made him righteous, but look how he's acting. Now, bless God. We want to live now in a way that is pleasing to him. Now that we've already been made pleasing to him through his beloved son, Jesus. Somebody say, I've been accepted. It's unshakable. It's unchanging. God's absolute acceptance of us is removing from us everything unacceptable in our lives. Did you get that? God's absolute acceptance of us is removing from us everything unacceptable in our life. Because we're coming into that awareness of how we've been received by him and made acceptable to him, it's purging us. Just that knowledge, that revelation, that knowing is changing us to live up to it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a law, folks. It's established. It's yours. You might as well enjoy it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.